Blog Talk Radio.
Gamond, and it's the Tuesday show. Well, how's everyone? You recovered from Monday. You're on into a new week. Imagine time flies so quickly, doesn't it? I have an article on that. I have an article on everything, right? That's what I talk about. Lots of fun things. We're going to talk about bliss, living your bliss, and we'll get into the definition of that. It really is centered around that, isn't it? It's centered around living the life you want to live. Not the life necessarily somebody else tells you to live. So my job, my purpose, my mission, my bliss, whatever you want to call it, is to help you, to inspire you, motivate you, and teach you what you need to know. Okay? About living your bliss, about living your purpose, about, let me do something real quick and don't see anybody really having calls and want to talk to dead people or talk about your past lives or anything like that yet. So leave that open. You know, I'm open. If you want to call in and talk about something, well, not totally unrelated, but about you and where you're going in life, and let my spirit guides kind of guide you a little bit. I love to do that. Okay. But I did a write-up this morning about my work and one big aspect of my work. Thought I'd share that with you. And the whole thing is based on one word. Because I've presented myself. Oh, let me go to another place here. Okay, I'm on Facebook. I posted on Facebook and a bunch of other sites. And so I'm going to go here. But into my page on Facebook, George Gamond, Intuitive Life Coach. If you're looking for me on Facebook, that's one place you can find me, George Gamond, Spiritual Life Coach. And I changed the word. And I changed the word from regression healing sessions. And the healing word is very important. So let me read what I wrote about that, if I can find it again. Okay, sometimes one word can make a big difference in understanding and intent. I changed the title of my regression work to regression healing sessions. The healing part is very important. It's about healing the wounds from the past, emotional, spiritual, and physical healing. All sorts of wounds are carried forward from either our childhood or from a past life. False and negative beliefs about ourselves from the past are carried forward to the present day. These beliefs grow, are compounded, and are invalidated through a lifetime. The result being we limit ourselves from living our purpose and living our bliss. My mission is to inspire, motivate, and teach you how to let go of those limiting beliefs and then live your full potential. It truly is healing the past so you can live a happy and productive life. So that's my mission. That's pretty much summarizing it in a whole thing is what I'm about. Now, what is the psychic or the intuitive part comes into play is letting spirit talk to you about how to get there. I know people want predictions, and that's cool. You want to know what's going to happen in the future. But most of the time, you've already set the future in place. Your thoughts, your ideas, your emotions are creating the world that you want. So my basic emphasis is coaching you. And I love to do the therapy work or the healing sessions, the regression healing sessions, because that's where we really get to look at your past and see what caused you to have the limitations now. So contact me. You can contact me through this site. You can contact me through Facebook, and I can explain a little bit more about it. If you have questions, I'm sure you do. In this short period of time here that I'm going to be dealing with this, I don't expect you to understand about everything I do. So I'm going to send you to the messenger. You can contact me through that. You can read a little bit more. I keep evolving, growing, changing, doing what I do because I learn more about what you need and what would benefit you. So we're going to talk about your bliss, living your bliss. It's not living in a euphoric state, which, you know, that's part of it, but it's not the purpose. Living your bliss is like living your purpose, but living it kind of rich, full life where you're doing what your soul intended you to do when you came into this lifetime. But before we start into that, I want to take your calls, see what Spirit has to say to you. Maybe one of your ancestors has some advice about you living your purpose and your bliss or things that you want in your life. But this is from a website called Life Hack. And I'm not quite sure what hack means yet. I know it's a term that's being thrown around a lot. But I understand the essence of the words and the articles. So those most people learn these lessons too late in life. And this is from lifehack.org. So seven lessons most people wish they learned earlier in life. So we'll go through this, and it really ties into what we're doing. It really does, if you're so inclined. Okay, so time passes much quicker than you realize. Isn't that a pretty obvious statement? Time is passing so much quicker than we realize it is. And next thing you know, you thought you were 40 and now you're 60, right? Or you're 20 and, 40 seems so far away. When you hit 40, you're going, oh my goodness, where'd all the time go, right? Sex and beauty fades, but intimacy and friendship grows. Yes. You know, when you're 20, if you were to realize the importance of intimacy between two people and friendship is the most important thing in a relationship, any kind of relationship, friendship is so important. Number three, no hobby, interest, book, or work is going to be as important as you look important to you as the people you spend the time when you get older. Yeah, it's about people. It's about friendships. It's about connecting with other people. Of course we have our hobbies. Of course we have our own time. Of course we have our independence. But what, as you get older, you start to realize the important thing in life is your friends, your relationships, the people, okay? I don't know if you agree with that, but I agree with that. And that's kind of where I'm trying to reach out. One of the reasons I do this is to reach out to people as a friend, as a teacher, to inspire you to do all these things. And if you don't find it's appropriate in your life, okay, that's good. But these are good thoughts. Number four, any seeds you planted in the past, either good or bad, will begin to bear fruit and affect the quality of your life as you get older for the better or the worse. Now, that's what I'm talking about in my regression therapy, regression healing. I'm going to get back to that word healing more and get away from therapy. Any seeds you planted in the past, any beliefs, anything that you kind of grabbed onto and held onto. Now, if they're negative, guess what kind of fruit they're going to bear in your life, right? If they're positive, well, that's just the opposite. So in my work, in my working with people, it's about let's go back at these seeds that you've planted somewhere in your childhood or even a past life, and we can change them. We can go from bad to good, from bad to good. Okay, number five, you will badly regret the things you didn't do as far more than the things that you did that were wrong. Okay, so you made mistakes, so what? You know, you're a failure in some aspect of your life, so what? The whole point is, it's the things that you regret that you didn't do. Now, in my 20s, I had a lot of friends that went to Europe and spent time in England and some other places, and I missed out on that. I didn't go with them. Well, I didn't put the money aside, or I didn't work hard enough to earn the money to do that and get whatever I needed to do to go. And that's a little bit of like, oh, man, I missed out. Now, I can go now, but when you're 20s, it's a whole different adventure than in your 60s, right? So I don't like the word regret, but I missed some opportunities. And I can kick myself a little bit for missing those opportunities. So don't miss the opportunities. If something comes up, if people want to do things and you go, I think I should do that. I should do that. I like the next one. Every day you wake up is a victory. I appreciate each day. Appreciate the morning. Appreciate what the day is going to be like, right? Number 7, it's never too late to become what you wanted to be or might have been if you start right now. Never too late. Even for me, it's never too late to become the person you wanted to become. Yeah, even if you only do it for 3 years, only if you only do it for 6 months, well, if you only got 6 months to live, but you decide in that in my last 6 months, I'm going to be the person I wanted to be, because you never know how long you have, right? So today is the day you say, okay, I'm going to live my bliss starting today. And we'll talk more about living your bliss and what that means in a moment. I'm just checking back and see if anybody wants to talk to me. Okay, so we're talking about now, if you want to call in and if you want to know what my spirit guides or your spirit guides have to say or your ancestors have to say about an issue in your life, please do that. I'm talking about this idea of what it means to live your bliss. Live a life of purpose. Live a life that's just fully enriched life, a fully enriched life. So we'll talk a little bit about this idea of where some of this concept came from of living your bliss. Well, for me, I was watching a documentary last night called Finding Joe. And it was Joseph Campbell. And it was about Joseph Campbell. And if you don't really know much about Joseph Campbell, well, let me read a little bit about him. And this got into this reading it about he's a mythologist and writer, Joseph Campbell. And he studied mythology starting with Native Americans. And this is back in the 1930s and 1940s. He died in 1987. And he wrote a couple books called The Power of Myth. And also he wrote The Hero's Journey. And what the essence of his writing was that although the mythology throughout history follows a similar theme, it's like an outline of mythology, even going current to Star Wars. It follows a mythology, follows a certain pattern. People live according to patterns of their lives, and it's been documented or written about in mythology throughout time. And we all do it. We're all part of that. We all go through the same struggles. We all have those awakening moments, and we changes, and crisis happens in our lives. And with crisis, we have an opportunity to change and reinvent ourselves. So let me read a little bit of what Joseph Campbell wrote about mythology. This is actually an interview he did with Bill Moyers back in the 1980s. If you follow your bliss, you put yourself on a kind of track that has been there all the while, waiting for you. And the life that you ought to be living is the one you are living. Wherever you are following your bliss. You are enjoying that refreshment, that life within you all the time. That's an interesting thought, that you came here to do a certain thing into a lifetime. You came to accomplish certain things. You came to live a certain life. And when you identify your bliss, you're living that life. You've suddenly honed in on that life you came to live. You know, it was described in the movie that, you know, if you had all the money, I think it was Deepak Chopra to talked about this. If you had all the money and all the time, what would you do? Other than, you know, most people would say, well, I'd travel for a while and do this or do that. But eventually you would fall back on following your bliss, whatever that is, because you're not doing it for money. You're not doing it just to do it. You're doing it because this is your inside, your soul is speaking out to you to follow this path. I remember a quote from the movie last night when Joseph Campbell was a professor. And he would tell the graduating class for this, I forgot which university it was. He said to go out into life and don't listen to your parents. You got to set your own course. You have to find your own bliss, your own way, your own purpose in life. living your bliss is like living that thing where there's no time. If you find an artist or a writer, they get into what they're doing, into the moment, and they live completely in the moment of what they're doing, and they're completely there. I remember listening to a radio interview with a radio host many years ago who was around in the Los Angeles area back in the 1990s and 1980s, and he said he would go into the studio and he would be there 12 hours. And they asked him, well, isn't that a lot of work, a lot of time? And he goes, no, I loved what I'm doing. Time didn't seem to matter because you love what you're doing. And that's living in your bliss. So you look at your life, your work, what you're doing. Do you go there and time just flies? It's like next thing you know, it's 6 o'clock and you're ready to go home. And you, wow, I just love what I do. Well, that's living your bliss, okay? It's living according to your soul. Now, let me kind of paraphrase through this a little bit and jump down, because not everybody's doing it. Most people aren't living their bliss because they haven't found it, and it's important to find that. Getting to the last section on this, and then the adventure is your own reward. It's necessarily dangerous having both negative and positive possibilities, all of them beyond control. We are following our own way, not our daddy's or at our mother's way. Life can dry up because we're not on our own adventure. It's being on your own adventure, right? There's something inside you that knows when you're in the center, that knows when you're on the beam or off the beam. And if you get off the beam to earn money, you've lost your life. And if you stay in the center, you don't get any money. You're still living your bliss. So it's not about money. Now, in Power of Myth, and I have the book somewhere, he did speak that if you're living your bliss, the money will follow. The abundance will follow. If you're living your bliss, that will follow. So it's not about, oh, I'm going to do this and never make any money. I'm never going to, you know, support myself or my family or have, you know, savings or anything like that. But the emphasis that you don't do it for money. You do it because it's your passion. You do it because this is what you're driven to do in life. This is why you came here. And it's getting in touch with that place, that center within you that says, and that's what he talks about here. Let me kind of paraphrase. I'm skipping around a little bit. This is Joseph Campbell. I came to this idea of bliss because in Sanskrit, which is the ancient spiritual language of the world, there are three terms that represent the brink, the jumping off place to the ocean of transcendence. Sat, Chit, and Ananda. It's S-H-I-T. Not C-H-I-T. C-H-I-T. But it's sounded the same. Ananda. The word sat means being. It means being. The word Chit, C-H-I-T, means consciousness. And Ananda means bliss or rapture. I thought, I don't know whether my consciousness is proper or consciousness or not. I don't know whether I know any of my being is of any proper being or not. But I know that where my rapture is. So let me hang on to rapture. That euphoric feeling that you're doing the right thing, you're doing something you're passionate about, you're living your passion. So that's what I'm talking about today, is living that passion and how to get there. And I guess I would say that, what is my bliss? I had thought about that. What is my bliss? What is my personal bliss? What can I do that's blissful, right? And it's this. It's helping people. It's inspiring people to live theirs. It really is about that. You know, when I was in the business world many years ago, I spent a lot of time in the business world. One of my favorite things to do and what gave me the greatest amount of joy was mentoring others, helping others to reach their goals in the business world, to grow and stretch and take on responsibilities and grow within the organization. That gave me the greatest amount of satisfaction, to watch somebody take on responsibility to grow, to prosper within an organization. And it's still, when I was in sales, in sales management, helping somebody to learn how to be a better salesperson, to grow as a salesperson, to be effective, to watch somebody sell something or be successful at sales. That was what gave me my inspiration in life. My bliss was to watch other people succeed or to be part of their success. And I transfer that over to now as an intuitive life coach, as a regression healer, is to help you prosper, help you to grow, help you to achieve your goals, to help you find your bliss in life. That's what I'm about. And I find a lot of comfort in that, helping to get you to seize the moment, to live your day. I love the movie Dead Poets Society, because that character that Robin Williams played in that movie was about that. Was about helping people to seize the day, to inspire people to find out who they are, what their bliss is, what their reason is, why are they here, to listen to the call of their soul, to achieve greatness in their own life. And then from my perspective of life, that's what I want to do with you, help all of you to do that, to put away or to change those beliefs, those seeds that article talked about from earlier in life, and really grasp onto your bliss and live it. Stop limiting yourself. Okay, another article. I'm full of articles today, aren't I? Yes. Well, I'm waiting for calls if you want to talk to some dead people. If you want to get more information about you living your bliss, you know, I'd love to do that. Maybe and that's why sometimes going to a past life can be a big benefit in doing that, because if you can go through a series of past lives and you can look at some past lives, you'll realize, oh, that's what I did. Well, that feels right. Well, that's why I'm doing that now. It kind of lights go on and you go, oh, I was a healer. I was an accountant. I was a professor. I was a cook. I was whatever it was in a past life, in a series of past lives, because we play a lot of the same roles from lifetime to lifetime. I was a warrior. Ooh, I'm a warrior now. That's my bliss, is to be that warrior. Maybe it's for Greenpeace. Maybe it's from other causes. But whatever it is, but you're still a warrior, right? You're still a warrior. Maybe I'm a teacher. I love to teach. Oh, I did that in many lifetimes. Ooh, that's my bliss, is to teach others, to help others, to open up minds so that they can think for themselves and pursue it. And also my part of that in helping you is to look at, okay, what's keeping you from doing that? Where are you limiting yourself? Why aren't you doing that? Why aren't you being that person that your soul is pulling you towards all the time, right? Why not? What's holding you back? And that's what my job is, or my opportunity, my passion, I guess, my bliss, is to help you to get there. And I do it with the assistance of my spirit guides. They're telling me, they're feeding me ideas and concepts. They're reminding me of things all the time to talk to you about. As I'm talking to you now, they'll throw things inside my head. Okay, now talk about this or talk about that. So I'm always under guidance. Maybe it's my higher self. That's cool. My higher self. Yeah, you have a higher self that's connected to source, to God, to the universe, that's always working with you if you're open to it, if you're open to your higher self. Your higher self is going to feed you and give you ideas, give you thoughts, give you direction in life. That's an important thing to tap into, is that higher self. Could be spirit guides, could be your ancestors, but being open to direction, open to guidance in your life. And that's part of what we do, is give you messages, or I do, is give you messages from those, from your higher self, from your soul, from your ancestors, from spirit guides, to guide you in your life. And to reassure you that you're going to make it. You know, it's that whole idea of, if you can think about it, and if you can imagine it, and you can believe in it, you can achieve it. If something has been coming up in your life that you want to do this, as simple as, well, simple, but it's not simple, but it's like meeting a partner. If you can feel yourself in a relationship, if you know you want to be in a relationship, if you can feel yourself there, if it's something that you're just passionate about, being in a relationship, you've already put it out to the universe. This is what I want. The universe will fulfill it. but why don't you get it? Well, we could spend hours on why don't you get it, but we won't right now. But let's look at why you're not getting it. What's holding you back? What resistance are you putting up to get what you want? And a lot of times it's those beliefs, those negative beliefs, those false beliefs from either a past life, but most likely from childhood, that keep you from getting what you want. Getting that relationship, getting that new job, getting that. And of course, there's other factors, but that has a lot to do with it. Okay, I have another article. Flip it. Moving right along from a website called thetinybuddha.com. Linda Gabriel, and I like this. It's 6 tips to find your bliss so you can follow it. We're on the bliss theme today, right? She quotes the Dalai Lama. Remember that sometimes not getting what you want is a wonderful stroke of luck. I like that one. I'm betting you've heard the advice to, this is Linda, I'm betting you've heard the advice to, excuse me, follow your dreams. Well, I find there to be much value in those words, but I submit that this mindset can become a trap. It's not the bliss that I have an issue with, it's the part about following. If you're going to follow your bliss, the thought is that you already know what it is. Maybe you do, and maybe you don't. Yet, when I was in my early 20s, my mother invited me to join her for an evening yoga class she was taking to be followed by dinner. Yoga wasn't as popular then as it is now, so it was something of a mystery to me. I imagine a half hour of simply stretching. To be honest, I was more interested in the free dinner than I was in the exercise. But Mom, who had just started a 6-week yoga intensive class, was very enthusiastic about it. Wanting to be supportive, I accepted her invitation. I met her at the yoga studio thinking early easy stretches would be a good way to work up an appetite. Then off to dinner we would go, and we removed our shoes, and I patted my mother as she handed me a mat and showed me where to spread it on the floor next to hers. The teacher was a pleasant young woman who smiled warmly as she welcomed us and lowered the lights and suggesting that we sit quietly and relax. As the first students straggled in, she walked over to the door to close the door, invited us to let go of the cares of the day for the next 2 hours. Holy Toledo, 2 hours, 2 hours. I hated PE. I've never done any physical activity more than 2 hours. This could never do. 2 hours, I panicked. How to escape? I could excuse myself to the bathroom and wait to out there. Maybe I should just feign a stomach ache and take a taxi home. I was freaking out inside. The teacher's smiling eyes met mine, and I faked smiled back. Panic turned into paralysis. I froze. I took every ounce of my willpower and a fair amount of respect and love for my mother to keep me from bolting out the door. I swallowed my pride and got ready to endure the torture. But fate sealed. I did my best to follow along. Luckily, I had some natural flexibility and was pleased to find I could get into the flow of the positions comfortably. Then some of the experienced students found challenged. Me being at a good sport, that was at first, yes, I even glowed a little. I did the yoga badly, but I did it. Eventually, I lost track of time, and somewhere along the line, I actually began to enjoy what I was doing. Then something marvelous happened. While I was in a pose, I was startled by the thought, oh, this is why people get into these ridiculous pretzel positions. By the end of the class, I was hooked. My mother finished her 6-week course and never went to a class again. For Mom, yoga was a momentary fascination. But for me, it was the beginning of a 40-year love affair that continues to this day. Okay. We won't go too much more there into that, her thing. But basically what she's saying, she found her bliss by accident. Yeah, right, accident. No, her mother led her there, her soul led her there, and allowed her to do it. And then once she's experienced it, she became hooked on it. So how we find our bliss so that we may follow it? Be open. If an opportunity crosses your path, try not to judge too quickly or too harshly. Be open to new ideas and experiences, maybe things you hadn't considered before. So if you're in that wasteland of not finding your bliss or not sure what that is, it's being open. Now you can ask the universe, ask God, Spirit, Source, whatever you call it, show me my bliss. Give me the synchronicities of my life. So that's the being open, saying, okay, show me. I'm open. Show me the opportunity. Give me opportunities to look at it and see if I feel it. It's like the lady, their opportunity came to her. She was able to delve into it. And she suddenly realized, this is her thing. This is my passion. This is my bliss. Number two, be curious. If there's something people enjoy but you can't imagine why, investigate. Perhaps it's ballroom dancing, poetry, martial arts, aviation, improv, the Peace Corps. Whatever it is, there may be more to learn in doing than observing. There's much more than meets the eye. Some things need to be experienced to be appreciated. Now, some things you'll never appreciate or never experience. Like, I'll never jump out of an airplane. Maybe I would like it. Maybe I love skydiving. But that my fear is in the way, right? My fear is blocking me from doing such a thing. But just be curious. Explore. You know, children are curious, aren't they? Teenagers. Don't teenagers go through all these changes and all these experiments and so forth? And even young children should be allowed to experience all kinds of different things, all kinds of different kinds of activities. And that they say, yeah, this is not me. You know, no, Mom, I don't want to do this. I don't want to play baseball. I don't want to take a dance class. I don't want to play an instrument. I don't want to play the piano. You have to respect their intuitiveness, their soul that's speaking. Maybe later on, okay, give it a couple weeks, you know, give it a couple weeks. Then they're going, no, I don't want to do this, Mom. Or dad, then it's time, maybe to back off of that and let them discover their passion, their bliss, even at a young age. I don't know if you agree with that, but you can't force children to do something. Okay, be willing is number three. Give it some time. I recommend a minimum of 2 hours. It helps you to get a good enough at a new endeavor to experience the joy. It may bring you once you get the hang of it. Also, be willing to let go of the identity you may have outgrown. I was sure I was not the physical type. I hated exercise. I certainly didn't believe I would be able to master something as outrageous as a handstand. Be willing, be open, right? Don't judge so quickly. Give it some time. 2 hours. That's not very long. Maybe it's a day or two. Maybe it's a little bit of time at something. You're fascinated about something. Somebody does something, you go, hey, I should try that. Or they say, let's try this. Let's see what you think of it. And all of a sudden, boom. You know, there's great musicians, artists who are now in bands that took up instruments because their girlfriend liked people who played music. You know, they thought, oh, I'll try it. You know, maybe I'll score some girlfriends, right? And next thing you know, 30 years later, they're still rocking out somewhere because they were curious. They were willing. They were, okay, I'm going to win some girlfriends. You know, the universe, the soul speaks to you in different ways. You can't judge that. If they're still rocking out after 30 years or 40 years of saying, oh, maybe I was just wanting to meet a girl, right? They got hooked. They found their bliss. Be proactive. Develop a mindset that is focused on finding and following your bliss. This means allowing time and energy to explore new things and different things. Be willing to step outside your comfort zone at least a little bit. Yeah, that old comfort zone. Oh, I can't do that, right? No, I can't do that. Oh, I've never done that before. Now there's some things as you get older, you go, I don't know about that. But as you get older, you've had the opportunity to experience all these different things. I look back at my life, and I had a lot of jobs, a lot of things I did, a lot of work, a lot of different occupations. But now I can look at it and go, hey, that's not so bad. I got to experience all these things. I got to do all this stuff. Some of it I really disliked, and some of it I liked. I gave it a few weeks. You get a job for a few weeks, and you go, uh-oh. You're in your 20s or your teens, and you go, eh, this is not me. At least you gave it a shot, right? Sometimes you hang on too long, and the universe kind of says, it's over. It's time to move on, right? You've done too much of this. You should have known by now that this is not your bliss. So that's the point I was making here. So be willing to step outside your comfort zone. Be surprised. You might be amazed at how much you enjoy something you never expected to. Did you ever experience that in your life? I didn't really expect to do this, but I really enjoyed it. Once I got into it, I really liked it. Now, I'm trying to think of an example of that. Searching my history and going, oh, there must be something. Maybe it'll come to me in a few minutes. But I'm trying to think, is there something that I did that I kind of apprehensive about at first? I mean, what about you guys? Is there something you were apprehensive about when you first started off doing it? And then as you did it and you got into it, you go, wow, this is really cool stuff. I love this. It feels good to me to do that. It brings out that passion within me for something. Think about it. Take your time. What is it? And you can reflect about it. You know, they talk about finding your bliss or finding your purpose, whatever you want to call it. And one of the best ways is to reflect back on your childhood. What did you love to do as a child? What kind of turns you on as a child to have fun? Now, there's things I did that I never could pursue that I loved, but that's besides the point. But what is it about your childhood? I like presenting things, okay? I liked talking to people. I liked being on stage at an early age. Maybe that's it. But I loved communicating things at an early age. I loved being in the spotlight at an early age in school. That's kind of where I found myself. I ended up gravitating into things that I could be on, like speech and drama, and debate and things like that. Speech, not drama, speech. They didn't call it drama. Speech and debate and giving presentations. I just kind of gravitated that way. I always wanted to do that sort of thing. Even as a child, we would have talent days and we'd figure out some kind of talented thing to do, which putting on a little play or something. Okay? Trust life, the last point. Trust life. If you find yourself in a situation that isn't exactly what you had in mind, pay attention. You might be at the beginning of the very path to bliss that you've been seeking. To paraphrase John Lennon, bliss may be what happens to you when you're busy making other plans. Or he said life may be what happens to you while you're making other plans. You just never know when you're going to get smacked on the side of the head and you're going to realize, I really love what I'm doing. This is amazing. This is incredible. So that's what bliss is about. It's finding that place within you. Now, I have a few minutes left, and I usually try to leave a lot more time for people to call in and talk to, but this is, you know, maybe the word bliss kind of freaked people out a little bit today. I don't know. Okay, if I don't do the traditional let's talk to dead people show, okay, but I'm having fun. And I hope those who listen to the show later on, and if you listen to the podcast, it'll stir your mind to think, oh, let me look for my bliss in life. Let me find my bliss. Am I living my bliss? And I'd love to help you. I'd love to help you to identify what that is. And there's various ways of doing that, and that would be so cool, so cool. To be able to assist you on this journey to live your bliss. And when you're living your bliss, we talk about happiness all the time. We talk about being happy, and that being happy is something that it's a natural state of being. And all of those negativity, all that negativity in your life, all those beliefs, all those seeds of negativity in your life keep you from being happy. But once you get into that place of living your purpose, living your bliss, you reach that state, that euphoric state of happiness, okay? Happiness. You can surround yourself with what you love. And you're a better person. You really are. You're a better person. Now, you may not have time for a lot of people at that point because you are really so engrossed in it. But if you're passionate about what you're doing. Okay, I was going to read for you if I had time a quote from the Abraham material. And it kind of ties a little bit into this, but I thought it was a very appropriate quote from the other day. If I can find it again, it's in here somewhere. Okay, that's not it. Maybe I deleted it. Oh, no. No, don't do that, right? Okay, let me look one more time. I know I'm kind of spending a lot of time looking at things that aren't getting to the point here. But well, let me just give you one quote from today, and then we'll kind of, what happened to that? It was a beautiful quote, okay? Perfect quote, right? This is from 1999, the Abraham material. You know, Esther Hicks and the Law of Attraction and the Secret. If it's your rules that make unlawful beings, you would get along better if you would just trust each other to treat each other appropriately. But you don't. You keep making laws until you make criminals out of everyone. I know that doesn't tie too much into the bliss, but I thought it was a beautiful statement. Why do we continue to make all these rules? All these rules, right? Why do we make all of these rules that do that to us? Okay, I can't find the other article that I was going to read. It's somewhere in here. Maybe this is it. And I apologize for spending so much time. Okay, here it is. You have sole ownership of your vision, and the universe will give you what you want within your vision. What happens with most people is they muddy their vision with reality. Their vision becomes fuller not only what they want, but what everybody else thinks that they want to do. Your work is to clarify and purify your vision so that your vibration Your work is to clarify and purify your vision. Now, you could say the vision is finding that bliss in life, finding that purpose. You know, you can turn that around a little bit and see what they're saying is that your vision is what you're supposed to be doing. You're living your bliss. It's not living somebody else's bliss, not simply living somebody else's purpose, but living yours. Your work is to clarify and purify your vision so that the vibration that you are offering can be answered. So it's if you know what your vision is, if you know what your bliss is, then you're putting it out to the universe to show you how to get there. The universe will respond to you, God, source, whatever you call it, will respond to you and to bring to you the ways to accomplish that. The how part comes from the universe. You just know your vision. You just know your bliss, what it is. And allow the universe to make that happen. And allow the prosperity to follow that. Allow everything good to follow that because you're living this bliss. You're living this purpose. You're living your vision. That's a very appropriate quote for what we're talking about today. It's about living the bliss. Hopefully you enjoyed this session. And if you have any questions, if you want to get more details from me, or if you don't, read about Joseph Campbell. Look into his life. Look into the books. Look into the power of the myth. Look into some of his other writings. Get involved in what it means to live your bliss, your purpose, and how to get there, and how to obtain it. See if you find some insights and where to go and how to do it. And if I can help you in any way, if I can help you with my regression healing sessions, I would love to do that. Or if you just want a reading, if you just want to contact me and see what your ancestors are telling you about, or maybe a past life about you and your purpose and your bliss, please contact me. Contact me through the messenger or Facebook. or through this site. I'd love to help you. That's my purpose. That's my bliss. Thank you for listening. Bye now. Love you guys. Take care.